You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
Welcome to the Big Suey, a podcast exclusive.
Whiskey move.
Just when you thought the show could not be more diluted.
Walk the plank.
Bam.
No more free Disney trips.
Now here's the marching band of nowhere.
Arr, matey.
Fat face.
Dan's been stress eating.
And the habitual liar.
Stugatz can't be trusted.
The Big Suey.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate radio life for me.
You got, give me those names of companies that you were reading during the break that you said were advertising during the first Super Bowl that Tom Brady played in. Tom Brady played in a Super Bowl the first season of his career when Drew Bledsoe got hurt. He might not have even played that season if Drew Bledsoe had not gotten hurt. Threw one touchdown pass on the way to winning the Super Bowl his first year.
Yep.
One of the biggest upsets ever.
They beat the Rams.
That's how he introduced himself to us in that game. But that playoff run had one touchdown pass from him. And now he finds himself 20 years later, 10 appearances in the Super Bowl, which is just a total absurdity.
So these are some of the businesses that advertised during Tom Brady's first Super Bowl. AOL, Blockbuster, Radio Shack, Circuit City,
so good.
Comp USA, Sears, Hot Jobs, Yahoo, VoiceStream Wireless, and Gateway Computers.
Who are you stealing that from? Who needs to be credited on listing the companies there? Oh, yeah, he remembers.
John Ehrlichman. John, courtesy of John Ehrlichman on Twitter, at John Ehrlichman. He's got a blue check mark. That means I don't know what it means.
Okay, I have a couple of good stats for you here, Stugatz. I told you I'm going to have a good stat day here today, and I'm not even getting to what Tom Brady has done after the age of 37, but some people sent this to me over the weekend. Dustin Jackson, Bruce Arians had more rushing touchdowns in a college season than Michael Vick did in a college season.
Come on.
It's an amazing stat. I know. At Levitard Show, Chris, Guillermo, put it on the poll, please. At Levitard Show, did you know that Bruce Arians had more rushing touchdowns in a college season than Michael Vick did in a college season? You knew that, Chris? Chris, you knew that?
I had seen it on the internet. That's hilarious.
Here's another one, though, and this one I think does not get noticed in all of the celebrating of Tom Brady in general, Stugatz. This is a funny stat I'm about to give you here that will point out to you something you probably haven't considered, which is for all the times that Tom Brady has been in the Super Bowl, you don't remember next to any of the touchdown passes he has thrown. You don't remember. He's now, I think, thrown 21 touchdown passes. But this is the funny stat, Stugatz. In the one Super Bowl that Jake Delhomme played against Tom Brady, his three touchdown passes went for more yards than all 18 of Tom Brady's before yesterday. Because all of them are 9 yards, 10 yards, 11 yards, 8 yards. And you don't remember a single one of them. And, you know, Delhomme had an 88-yard pass or 85-yard pass to Masin Muhammad in that Super Bowl. And so all of the touchdowns are just these little dink-and-dunk things. And Yesterday was paper cut you to death. Yesterday, how many throws did they have to wide receivers yesterday? It was all tight ends, running backs, tight ends, running back.
Well, Antonio Brown had that one touchdown catch, so there were a couple. I think Mike Evans had one big catch, but you're right. Gronk had six catches. Fournette had four catches. Fournette was great yesterday. Mike Evans had a catch. Cameron Brate had three. Antonio Brown had five. So he got most of the. It was funny that to see Brady do it with the guys that he kind of brought in.
So great.
Two touchdown passes to Gronk, one to Antonio Brown, and Fournette went there because of Brady and had a big game.
It's so great. And Antonio Brown is in the league only because Tom Brady wishes for it to be so. And Antonio Brown is on that team and in that huddle only because Tom Brady wished it to be so.
And Fournette scored a touchdown. So the three guys that Brady kind of brought in all scored last night. And Antonio Brown postgame was very emotional when asked about Brady and how much Brady stuck up for him.
That's so cool. It really is. Yeah. It is a cool story because Tom Brady will also beat you with crazy because Antonio Brown was somebody that did not have a supporter in public as he seemed to have a mental health meltdown that made the Patriots part ways with him. And Tom Brady never did emotionally, never did publicly, supported him throughout. And it's a cool story to actually see that if you can get past some of the troublesome stuff that Antonio Brown has in his past that may or may not be tied to that mental illness that he seemed to be suffering from in public. But here is the stat I've been wanting to give you, Stugatz, because it is Tom Brady since, as you've said, and we don't want to belabor the point. We don't want to get stuck here. But since I said that he was done, even though it's not what I said, but that's okay for the purpose.
And I don't want to get bogged down in it.
You really do. Yeah. You want to so get bogged down in it. You want to just spend the entire show slathering it. It's how you said good morning to me today. It's I know why you enjoyed the Super Bowl yesterday, because you were just going to be able to come in here and bury me because Tom Brady wins, and I, like Mike Ryan entering the Roland Martin Hive and the Prince Hive, I have dared to be the person who said the thing about Tom Brady, which is just to say, I thought he's going to age. He's got to age. This is what aging looks like. And I was wrong. It isn't what aging looks like. He ages different than the rest of us.
You know what else happened for me? It was a banner night last night. I had you with Brady being finished at the age of 37. And my Mahomes take that I gave, as ridiculous as it is, as wrong as it is, it kind of goes away for a year, I think, right?
Does it? Well, you caught a break yesterday with the Mahomes stuff. Yes, because we would have been playing again and again today the sound of you saying that Andy Reid was somebody who was not a quarterback whisperer and shouldn't have gotten rid of Alex Smith.
Big win.
I'm afraid to bring up a subject that I want to bring up here because I think it's on Mike's prop bet card. Oh, I'm afraid to bring up
the
subject.
Do the show.
I know, but I wanted to wonder aloud about the idea of Andy Reid coaching in that game after what it is that's in his life right now, where his son was in all the headlines and he has had that job makes it very difficult to be present as a dad. Be clear on this. I'm not blaming Andy Reid. I would not begin to know what he is as a father and anything that happens around him. I am not blaming him or saying he is a bad father. I am simply saying, and I want this to be clear, that job makes it really, really hard to be present as a father. And Sunday is an example of that because I'm guessing Andy Reid didn't give a whole lot of consideration to not coaching in that football game when I think a lot of fathers under certain circumstances would understand being at home right now because you have lost a son, the greatest pain a parent can feel, and now your son, who has had substance issues, was a coach on your staff, and the week before the Super Bowl, he has brought this shame on your family and also this heartbreak on another family because he got into a car accident where he has said he has had a couple of drinks. We don't know what the results are yet, right, of whether or not this is actually a DUI. What is the latest on the critical care that a four-year-old is in because of this car accident? Because I was wondering to myself if it's fair to ask, should Andy Reid have been coaching in that game?
That's with your son, right? It is hard to be that occupation. It's hard to be there around physically a lot for your family. It just is. Where no one's blaming Andy Reid, so much so that he brought his son to the organization, closer to him. So they could be around him more. He could be around his son more. I don't have the latest. I will look it up. I know that the report was he said he had a couple of drinks, and he takes Adderall. He's medicated, so he's taking medication on a daily basis. I will tell you, as someone who takes Adderall, one beer feels like six. Like, it does. It's the first thing they tell you when they prescribe Adderall for you, that a beer or a cocktail, one of them's going to feel like four or five. And I've had experience with it, and it does. And there's no reason to be getting behind a wheel, even without the Adderall. But there's no reason for him to be driving in that situation.
Well, is it fair what I'm asking, Stugatz? Because I'm bringing something serious to what is generally a light day around here, where we talk about the Super Bowl and we laugh about silly things. But I was wondering it before in the build-up to the game. I don't think she will mind me revealing this, but I was having a conversation with Diana Russini about just whether or not he should or would coach in the game. And she was wondering if he would before reporting that he would. And I was saying to her, Diana, are you crazy? Of course he's going to coach in the game. That's what those guys are wired to do. Very few of them would have the balance to rush home in that situation. I don't think there is a greater priority. For as much as you hear about football and family and faith and all those conservative values around football, I do believe that the head coaches and the stories I've told you about, you know, Joe Gibbs basically having his family tape record dinner conversations and send them to his office so he could be present, or, and you know, any number of stories like that that we can tell about how lopsided these guys have to be in the competition business when you're control freaks who don't actually end up having very much control. Because Andy Reid is great. We know he's great. But his offensive line was terrible yesterday, and there was nothing he could do about it. Bill Belichick, we know he's great. And Tom Brady leaves his side, and look at what happens. They're control freaks who don't have very much control over what ends up happening because of the way a ball bounces.
Sure.
And then what happens is they try to control so much, the 10% that they do control, that they compete against each other to see who could sleep in the office more. Because if you're not sleeping in the office to win a football game, John Gruden or somebody else is.
Do you think Andy Reid coaches if it's a regular season game? It was the Super Bowl, so I fully expected him to be there. I was thinking the same thing. Would I be able to do that as a father if one of my, you know, children went through the same exact thing?
And keep in mind,
I don't know.
Keep in mind, we do not mean to suggest that, and it should not sound that Britt Reid is the victim here. I'm just talking about what a father will do for a son when a son is in peril and what should be required of a father. And given the results of what we saw yesterday, can you imagine? Can you imagine if he had gone home and that's what happened to Bieniemy? If Andy Reid had just not coached in that game. Think about that one for a second. And Bieniemy, and we would have, oh my God. Oh my God.
He finally gets his chance to be a head coach.
Think about that for a second. And we see Patrick Mahomes put up the biggest turd of a game any of us have ever seen him play. A game that was just totally inconceivable. A game nobody could see coming. That's not that you could think that Tampa Bay would give them problems on defense. You could think that Mahomes' toe would give him a problem. None of us could have possibly seen that particular game coming because it's not a game we have ever seen.
It wasn't a banner night for him anyway, Bieniemy. I mean, it was for Byron Leftwich. It was for Todd Bowles. It was not for Eric Bieniemy. That was a bad night for him.
It wasn't for anybody with the Chiefs. There's no getting around that performance being horrible. It's the worst we've seen. But let's celebrate the other side of this. And more importantly, let's celebrate Dan being wrong. Because I know that this is a...
If you want to, I mean...
I do want to, though. This is... We shouldn't get bogged down in this.
It's up to you, I mean.
But here, I want to read these stats because I can't believe what I'm reading. This is simply from Tom Brady Facts, okay?
Yep.
On Twitter.
Okay.
This is Tom Brady comparing him against, okay, look at what he's being compared against. The playoff careers of Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and Ben Roethlisberger. all four of them. Okay. So basically the best of his peers, right? That's what we're saying.
Yep.
Is there anyone missing there from the best of his peers? Like across the Brady years, am I missing anybody when I say Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, those are the best QBs, the winners. That's the old guard. It's the Mount Rushmore. It's the best five guys. Is anyone missing there?
Eli.
Okay, but Eli's not in that class, right? Eli's the only one who did beat Brady.
Eli's in the class where he beat him twice.
Yes, he beats him twice, and he beats him.
And Foles.
And Foles, that's right.
That's bizarre. Who we lost to.
How did he not also lose to Delhomme just so that we could say it? Just so that we could say, yeah, well, how do we explain this? That's just football, right? That's just actually, it's not just the quarterback who wins.
He beat Mahomes. He beat Kurt Warner. He loses to Eli.
He beat Matt Ryan the year that he won an MVP.
So here are the stats, okay, since Brady turned 37. So this is the career of his peers, Stugatz, in the postseason, okay? But this is just Brady since 37. Since I said he's got to age here, right? He's got to age the way that Ben just aged and the way that Breeze just aged. Like, he's got to. The way Peyton Manning aged, where he's being inducted into the Hall of Fame the same weekend. 5 years later, Stugatz, he's on a field, and we saw what his last season looked like. He was shit. Like, Peyton Manning was just terrible. It's one of the worst starting quarterbacks in the history of the league. 9 touchdowns, 17 interceptions.
Yeah, terrible in the Super Bowl. Brady had 3 touchdowns last night.
No, and looks impossibly young.
They should be the favorites next season.
Benjamin Buck. It's unbelievable the way that he is aging in reverse. But here is Tom Brady since turning 37 years old. Wins in the postseason. Roethlisberger, 13. Rodgers, 11. Breeze, 9. Manning, 14. Brady, 16. So since 37, he has won more playoff games than all of those guys. All those guys over that time have lost. Roethlisberger, 9 times. Rodgers, 9 times. Drew Brees, 9 times. Peyton Manning, 13 times. Brady's lost 3 times. He's 16-3. In the postseason after 37 years old.
Amazing.
Passing yards in the postseason. Only Peyton's got more than him. Breeze, Rodgers, Roethlisberger, fewer passing yards. Touchdowns, Stugatz, only Rodgers has more than him. Only Rodgers. Peyton Manning does not. Drew Breeze does not. Roethlisberger does not. Rodgers has 2 more. I'm sorry, 6 more total touchdowns.
Okay. Any team in the NFC would have beaten that Kansas City team last night, right? Like, Rodgers would have won his second Super Bowl last night. That team was not very good. That offensive line was just crazy. It was just, it's not the offensive line that Mahomes is accustomed to playing.
I don't know if many teams can get that pass rush that the Bucs have.
Good
granted,
point.
We knew about the Eric Fisher injury. It's something that we highlighted, but they've been playing without Mitchell Schwartz all season long, and it just never mattered. Patrick Mahomes always gets the ball out so quick. But they did such a great job. They were putting 4 guys on the 2 top weapons, and they were forcing Sammy Watkins and Pringle and Hardman to do stuff, and they couldn't. But, I mean, it was a great equalizer.
Mike, are
you
saying,
able to make Patrick? I was like, why is Patrick Mahomes spinning around? He's like taking himself out of plays. It's because no one is open downfield. No one.
But are you saying the defensive line of the Bucs deserves more credit than the blame we're assigning to the Chiefs' offensive line being injured? Because I think you're right. Deshaun Watson plays great behind a pretty lousy offensive line. It was a weird night for Mahomes.
Look what Shaq Barrett and Jason Pierre-Paul did on their way to the Super Bowl, because it's as impressive as what Tom Brady did at an age that we're not used to seeing that kind of output. What Jason Pierre-Paul is doing after nuking his hand as a pass rusher.
He's a firecracker. What?!
Hey guys, it's Tony. I am very, very, very excited about the NBA playoffs. They have been incredible so far. Taylor, producer on the show, thanks to Game Time, took a 28-hour train ride to a Knicks game. Talking to Taylor, it was an awesome time going to the game, feeling the energy of the Garden, and I really want to get out there to watch a game in the Garden. And you know how I do it? Of course, the best ticket app on the planet, Game Time. Game Time is an authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, which makes getting playoff tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to tip-off, with killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, which is a technology I love, by the way, Game Time has tons of last-minute deals. You can save up to 60% off buying last-minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater. Take the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app today. Create an account. Use code DAN, D-A-N, for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN, D-A-N, for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last-minute tickets. Lowest price guaranteed.
We will get to weekend observations in a second if we don't get derailed here. I do fear, though, that we're going to get derailed because I couldn't stop snorting with laughter with my wife this weekend, hearing a very short sound that just was hypnotizing to me that I am going to play for the audience in a moment. And forgive me if I am overpromising and we underdeliver. You just have to seek out the video that will accompany this audio so that you can have the full range of humor involved in the sound that I'm about to play for you. Before we get to Stugatz's weekend observations, though, Stugatz will not stop laughing about the guy he calls Creepy Hall of Fame Guy. Stugatz will not stop laughing about, I don't want to ruin the weekend observations because I've been told that Stugatz has already stolen a couple of his own lines from his own weekend observations, including that he's never been happier, that the weekend is over, which requires a rewriting of the weekend observations when Stugatz makes a killer, clever joke that he's been sculpting all weekend.
I could hold it in, Dan.
Mike gets so mad at you. Mike, I can't believe, Stugatz, I really can't believe letting people look behind the curtain in terms of the weekend observations. Observations are just notes in Stugatz's phone. They're thoughts that are Stugatz's largely, except sometimes you recognize that they're not. But somehow, Stugatz, the one joke that's always there is the Art Briles in Hell joke at the end, and somehow Stugatz always forgets to put it in there. So that joke, no matter how lazy it appears, is usually something that Mike has to write during the show because Stugatz forgets how to make his own signature trademark joke.
Occasionally, I'll send them to Mike and I'll say, hey, I'll add the hell in the morning. And I never do. It's just, as I'm typing it, I know I'm lying and I type it anyway and hit send. Weird.
Okay. Mike, is there a greater, weirder frustration that you have with Stugatz? Because I don't, you seemed agitated this morning, but also, as always happens with Stugatz, he ends up charming you because he is weirdly likable for someone who has so many unlikable traits. I was just quoted.
Thanks.
I hope they quote me correctly. There's a profile of you coming out. They interviewed me asking me about you, and I wanted to make sure that that guy got some version of that quote because I don't believe that there's anyone around here or in our lives that gets away with more than you do simply because we all just really like you and you make us happy.
Well, thank you. Neil Best was the writer, by the way. Little Newsday profile, Long Island newspaper that no one's buying. But Neil Best did a profile on me that no one's going to see. And I am super excited. You gave a quote?
I gave an interview.
A whole interview?
A whole interview. In fact, not only was it a whole interview, I am in demand right now, and we are not doing any interviews, and it's the only interview that I've given outside of the Reddit interview that we did, but it was on the condition that it be only about you.
Well, a week from Thursday, we have to do Ernie Johnson and Charles Barkley, their podcast for TNT, so I'm excited about that. I think you and I will both have fun with that. Neil Best did interview me. I told him, I said, listen, the ink's not dry. Just so you know, I said, the ink is not dry yet. I'm going to go dance around with Greg Giannotti and FAN and maybe, you know, a little Mad Dog, a Mad Dog Radio.
Wait a minute. You're going to do what Bomani did with the Washington Post where there was an article about Bomani and all of a sudden there was Meadowlark has an interest in Bomani Jones. And you're planting that in Newsday? What are you trying to do? Get the hint of suitors out there for you? I'm still a free agent.
Well, he was just asking me if I'm part of the company. And I said, well, you know, I think I am. But again, the ink is not dry yet. And so until it dries up, I'm going to flirt around with Adam Schein on Mad Dog Radio. How about that?
Roy, what are you doing? Why is your head in your hand?
The ink is not dry yet. Well, I mean, what does that mean? What? You can wash it off? What does that mean?
That's a good point, Roy. I don't know what it means.
The ink isn't dry. Stugatz hasn't signed a contract. He could still betray us in an amazing heel turn. But we will get to the weekend observations that have a hell joke that was written for Stugatz. But before we do that, and before we get to the sound that I want to get to, Stugatz, what's going on with you and Creepy Hall of Fame guy? Don't ruin any of your weekend observations. Just give me your general thoughts to set it up for the people who don't know who Creepy Hall of Fame guy is.
It's just this once a year, it makes me laugh, where this ogre kind of just walks around, travels the earth, and informs people that they've made it to the Hall of Fame, and it makes me laugh every time. I don't know why.
This Hall of Fame ogre. All right, I think of ogres as small. Do you think of ogres as larger? Do you think of them as Shrek-y? What do you think of ogres as? Put it on the poll, Guillermo, please. Do you think of ogres as large or small?
Ogres are big. Trolls, generally small.
So an ogre, can you give me some help then? Because clearly I don't understand what an ogre is if Shrek. I thought of them as smaller.
Shrek.
That's it?
Yeah.
He's the working ogre.
Yeah, he's a Tom Brady of ogres.
Yes. He seems like a delightful man.
All right. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard
Seems
Show.
Seems delightful.
Is
and
he
horrifying.
The Tom
Brady? It's weird.
There are times that I'm brushing my teeth and I spit out my mouthwash and I look up into the mirror and I swear to God, I see him in my mirror for just like a fleeting second. It sends chills down my spine.
I mean, Megatron didn't know if he should be terrified or not.
He's bigger than Calvin Johnson. He's a giant man.
He really is.
His hands are bigger than Bruce's.
the ultimate compliment. The ultimate compliment.
I mean, Bruce has mitts.
All right, hold on a second. You know what? I'm not explaining the jokes anymore. If you don't know who Bruce is, you.
Yes! Yes!
I'm done. I'm done explaining any of the jokes. I'm so tired of it. So we'll get to the creepy Hall of Fame ogre in a second. And I asked the question at Levitard Show on Twitter. Please put it in here. Guillermo is the creepy Hall of Fame guy. What are we saying? Who's the Tom Brady of ogres? Oh, is Shrek the Tom Brady yes. of ogres? Or who is more the Tom Brady of ogres? Is it Shrek or is it the creepy Hall of Fame guy is the way that I want to ask the question. But before we get to that, Stugatz, Lou Dobbs, his television career is over. Mike Ryan remembers just the cell phone, one of the strangest cell phones in the history of the internet, where Lou Dobbs pointed out here recently, Stugatz, that his show had been canceled, and he did so, and we've been laughing about Lou Dobbs for a while, just because his name is Lou Dobbs, and he looks like a guy who would be named Lou Dobbs, and because we don't know what is funnier, Dobbs or Lou, just all of it is just wonderful, okay? So Lou Dobbs absolutely looks like a Lou Dobbs. And he tweeted out, Fox News has dropped Lou Dobbs tonight, promoter of Trump's false election fraud claim. So he was just linking to an article. This is an old person being old with the internet. He's not being ironic here. He's not being funny. He's just putting up a cell phone by mistake because that's where he saw the news story.
He linked a Washington Post article that calls him out for being someone that posted false information and pushed that agenda on his show. And yeah, he cell phones himself because, of course, Lou Dobbs would.
So I have one moment above all others, and this is not fair. The guy's got a complete body of work. Whatever you think of the body of work, he's got a long body of work as a journalist. He is a man who has been a television professional who feels like he is from a different televised time that perhaps he'd prefer would have remained separated by black and white. Lou Dobbs is somebody who has been in the news consciousness here for a while. And I have a favorite Lou Dobbs moment. Of all the Lou Dobbs moments, this is the guy that I sort of have laughed about what Fox News has been for a long time, and he is not the furthest of the extremists. He just does a handful of things that the Fox News people tend to do. But this is wonderful, and I don't know how many of you have heard it before, but this is something that is a little bit older, but in honor of Lou Dobbs and his show now ending, I present to you my favorite moment, and I want you to just understand before we head into this, okay? Mike, should I give away what he was trying to say, or should we just experience it for the people who have not heard it? I know many of you have, but for the people who have not heard it, should I explain to people the word he was trying to say?
I think people can piece it together.
All right, so here it is. How many of you have heard this? Because I just want to see the reaction in the Zoom, because I cannot... I was snorting with laughter because it's something I could not stop watching with my wife this weekend. And I implore you to watch it after you have seen it, because it's even funnier when you see it's just Lou Dobbs and what Lou Dobbs looks like and what happens to his face as he is trying to say a Spanish word.
The caravan of mostly Central American immigrants is now in the Mexican city of Huachalda tonight.
You sing that?
No, this is... This is just somebody who saw a word on the prompter that was complicated in Hispanic, and he had never evidently thought to pronounce or see spelled anywhere, either Guadalajara or Guadalupe or whatever it is he thought it was. So he just thought he would Adele Dazine it like John Travolta.
The caravan of mostly Central American immigrants is now in the Mexican city of Huachalda tonight.
Now I gotta see his face.
I want to reduce. Now, wow. You just please, okay? Please do yourself the favor of finding the video accompaniment so you can see the fear sweep through Lou Dobbs' face as he realizes, oh man, I'm bullshitting here on a Spanish word and I don't know what to do.
The caravan of mostly Central American immigrants is now in the Mexican city of Huachalda tonight.
It has to be Guadalajara, right? It has to be that he just got scared of it and Lou Dobbs became Stugatz for a moment and just tried to bulldoze sing-song his way through the final parts of the work.
The caravan of mostly Central American immigrants is now in the Mexican city of Huachalda tonight.
It more sounds like he's quitting than he is that he's trying to sing-song. He's just like, I can't, so I'm just going to say, ha!
The caravan of mostly Central American immigrants is now in the Mexican city of Huachalda tonight.
I think he's trying to bluff his way through the last part of the word by saying, you know what? I'm not going to be able to do it in English. I think they see me trying to do the Spanish. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to distract them with song.
The caravan of mostly Central American immigrants is now in the Mexican city of Huachalda tonight.
Credit to him for actually nailing the most difficult part of Guadalajara. It's like he might have practiced it and just tried to get down the wada.
Time down.
His face twitched.
Would you do me the sweet, sweet favor, please? And I know it's hard to do these things in real time. So as we get to Stugatz's weekend observations, would you please just replace the beep at one point with Lou Dobbs's Guadalajara just to see how it is that sounds? I know these things can be difficult to turn around, but let's see if we test you a little bit. Let's do Stugatz's weekend observations.
It is time for Stugatz to share his game notes. No one in the media will tell you what happened better than my boy Stu.
Dan.
Huachalda.
With a third round 61.
Huachalda.
I thought Jordan Spieth was back.
It's a terrible idea by me.
Wait a second. Stugatz, how do you botch the is back?
No, I'm not there yet.
Okay.
You botched it.
Huachalda.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Sorry, Lou Dobbs got me all.
That's okay. It's all right. I understand. He's close.
Huachalda.
But with a final round 65.
Huachalda.
And the victory at the Waste Management Open.
Huachalda.
Dan.
Huachalda.
Brooks Koepka.
Huachalda.
Is back.
Huachalda.
No, I've ruined it, Mike. There you go. I've ruined it. You can't keep doing this.
It's too difficult. Going back to the dings.
I'll keep you. You want me to start again?
No, I got it.
All right. You good? I'll keep you posted on Spieth. Long piece on ESPN.com over the weekend about why Eric Bieniemy's offense works. I've shortened the article and written my own. Patrick Mahomes. Public Bieniemy. Sleeping with the Bieniemy. Trevor Bauer. Agreed with the Mets, but went to the Dodgers.
No.
You know what New York suffered?
Uh-oh.
A Bauer outage. How about that? Dustin Johnson has to be swinging a big stick.
Oh, come on.
Right, Dan? Carrying a big club? The old driver, Dan? You know what I'm saying?
No, what are you saying?
I'm trying to say Dustin Johnson probably has a big penis.
Huachalda.
Sources. Big Ben and the Steelers to discuss his 2021 contract. They should also discuss his 2021 diet. What happened there?
Huachalda.
That get in there. Mike, you put that in?
Again, that is Lou Dobbs trying to say, evidently.
Guadalajara.
Report.
Guadalajara.
Eagles expected the trade went soon. Poor Carson. That has to hurt. That Le'Veon Bell Chiefs signing didn't really work out like we thought.
No, it didn't.
North Carolina, Duke, name a player on either team. I dare you.
Guadalajara.
Death, taxes, and Cameron Brate. Upon winning the NFL MVP, Aaron Rodgers kept thanking his fiance. Must have been quite the emotional roller coaster for Dan.
I didn't expect him to out us that way. I thought he was going to keep it private. Must have been really emotional with the MVP stuff, and he just decided to tell everybody we were engaged.
But the highs of him winning the MVP in your apartment, oh, to be a fly on the wall, Dano, and then to find out that he's engaged and it's not to you.
What do you mean it's not to me?
Oh,
he didn't say who it was to.
Oh, that's a good point.
You weren't listening at all to anything I was doing there, were you?
No, I wasn't. Where was I?
Guadalajara.
Thank you. Impressive first game of the year for the North Carolina men's lacrosse team. Great chemistry. Looks like they've been playing together for a while. You know what one might say about the North Carolina men's lacrosse team, Dan?
No.
That they are in midseason form. Calvin Johnson said he's hopeful he can mend fences with the Lions. Why? Megatron. Multiple teams have interest in Sam Darnold. Why? If North Carolina and Duke played, but no one knew and no one cared, did they actually play? Something to ponder. The Texans insist they are not trading Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson insists he's never playing football for them again. Dan, there seems to be a disconnect. Did I use that word correctly?
Disconnect?
Yes.
You not know what disconnect means?
Nope, I've heard it said before. It just seemed like the right spot for it.
Guadalajara.
Thank you. Promising Young Woman. Best movie I've seen in 5 years. What happened?
No.
It's Promising Young Woman.
Women. Oh, it's such a good movie. I loved it.
That didn't just great. Happen. Yeah, no, I wasn't reacting to the movie judgment. I was reacting again to you changing woman to women.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
It's great. It's wonderful.
It's a movie about a singular woman.
One woman. One murderous woman.
Yeah. You're right. Well, not really. Well, you're right. It is. It's about one. Yeah.
Yeah. A woman.
That's woman?
Yeah.
One of them.
What did you
plural
say?
Plural is women?
Women.
It sounds like you're just saying the plural one.
Promising Young Woman.
It's also not the best movie in 5 years.
What would that be? The Jordan one? Yes. I'm not laughing.
Yes, that's what I meant. The Last Dance. Okay. Yeah.
Because it's either that or The Last Dance.
Right.
Kevin Durant is frustrated by COVID protocol. KD, imagine how frustrated the Nets must be that you can't follow it. The only way Belichick could possibly checkmate Brady is by winning it all next season with Jameis Winston. There's a show.
That would be great.
Right?
That would be great.
Otherwise, he's done forever.
Guillermo, put it on the poll. Is the only way that Belichick can now catch Tom Brady by winning the Super Bowl next year with Jameis Winston?
There's a show called Tough as Nails, and I didn't know about it. Patrick Mahomes. Plenty of guys have done it once. When Eric Bieniemy gets back to his house, you know what he'll notice, Dan? All the windows have closed. The Eric, what happened there? And now it's Byron Leftwich. He's the guy. The Eric Fisher injury. Why we know nothing about football. Manchester City, winners of 14 on the trot. I.K. Gundogan. Gundogan.
You just did the equivalent of the Dobbs.
Gundogan. Making us forget.
Gundogan.
About Kevin De Bruyne, Jurgen Klopp has been figured out. And the title is sure to be Pep Guardiola's.
Guardiola.
Hell of it.
Well, this is roaring. Mike Ryan and Whittingham are really enjoying it because they know the names you're trying to say.
Yeah.
You clearly don't.
IK?
Guardiola.
I got that right? Right.
Ilkay.
Come on, that's not fair.
Gundogan.
Gundogan. Yeah. Kevin De Bruyne. Kevin De Bruyne, I got that right?
Like De Bruyne.
It's like tickling me. I don't know if anyone finds the Lou Dobbs as funny as I do.
KDB. Leave it to good old CBS to follow up the Super Bowl with the Equalizer.
Look, man, I don't know whether the Equalizer was good or not. It may very well have been. I was just laughing at the idea of how many commercials there were for it. There were no more commercials for anything than there were for the Equalizer last night, correct?
Yeah, those are promos, though. Brady and Gronk, like riding a bike. I have no idea what that means. But that's what it felt like last night.
What do you mean you don't know what it means?
Riding a bike. I mean, I don't know.
You never forget how to ride a bike? You don't know what it means?
You never forget how to throw touchdowns to Gronk in the Super Bowl? Okay, good. Well, I guess I do know what it means. Bob Kraft said he's rooting for Brady in the Super Bowl. You know what the B in Bob stands for, Dan?
Bullshit.
Big fat liar. Andy Reid can't win the big one. You know what the H in Hague stands for? Not hands. Travolta. Bald. Like it. Levante David, menace. For a half second, I thought the streaker was Gronk. In the history of mankind, there has never been a deliverer of great news who terrifies me more than the guy from the Pro Football
there
Hall of
he
Fame.
Is.
That guy looks like Chris Berman fell in the Ninja Turtle ooze. Super Bowl shops have started at 4:30. In the pandemic, 4:30 is the new 6:30. And 6:30 is the new 10:30. Have you noticed that? What I was really trying to say there is yesterday the Super Bowl should have started at 4:30, not 6:30, because 4:30 is like the new 6:30, and 6:30 felt like 10:30. That's what I was trying to say. The game started way too late. You're sitting around all day in this pandemic, nothing to do.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Did the game start way too late yesterday at 6:30? That is officially Stugatz. And I'm not disagreeing with you, but that is your descent into you're soon going to be having early bird dinners at 3 o'clock.
Dan, if I was driving home and that Hall of Fame guy was standing in front of my house, I would not pull into the driveway.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. If the creepy Hall of Fame ogre guy was standing in your driveway, would you pull into your own driveway?
Chiefs. A quarterback away. Mahomes. What am I doing? I mean, he's Joe Flacco. Mahomes ran for 500 yards. You would have thought the Chiefs score more. Just saw the Chiefs offense held to just 3 field goals, which means Art Briles probably needs a sweater.
Yes.
Speaking of Art, Dan.
Yes.
Hell.
You can't get it. That's unbelievable. He doesn't know his signature line.
Speaking of hell, Dan, Art Briles. And Dan, those are the weekend observations.
How is it possible that he forgot his own catchphrase?
I was thinking about the Hall of Fame guy in front of my house.
It's redundant.
Go to hell.
Washful die.
When you do, say hi to Briles for me. Speaking of Briles, hell.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.